Hello and welcome to The Real Podcast. I'm Earl Buchan, and today we'll be continuing our conversation about rewilding the heart of ministry from the inside out. It starts with us. We can be open and real. We'll explore testimonies, conversations, all kinds of topics, and I hope you'll stick around. This is another conversation, and today I'm with Rodion Ignatenko. I'm just pronouncing that properly, right?
Sure.
And Rodion is the worship pastor at Radiant Church here in Winnipeg. And so I've got the delightful and profound privilege of working with him in ministry. And I've been looking forward to this for a while now, talking to you about worship, specifically the heart of worship. And I guess like where I wanted to just start is like, Rodion, for you, what is worship? I mean, from a very base level, what is it to you?
Well, that's a profound question. I'm just going to start with a difficult question.
Of course.
It is a very fundamental and difficult and simple question all at the same time. For me, it's what you express internally most of all, and then it translates to all the different kinds of expressions of this internal feeling or desire or language to communicate with the Father. So we know that most often it translates into a song or into a prayer of worship to God. But for me, it starts inside a heart, and then something follows to connect to God. And these connections, these ways of worship, are very different. Sometimes it manifests in kneeling down or laying down or jumping up or raising your hands or speaking out in tongues or waving a flag or dancing on stage or painting. All of those are worship and genuine worship to me, if they come from that place inside your heart. So what is worship is many different things, but they all lead to an expression of your own heart. What is this connection or what is the communication, if you will, that your heart wants to bring to God the Father and Jesus through the Holy Spirit. The manifestations are various and many, but the origin is the same. It's the heart that initiates this expression, which is the most important thing to me, really. If there's a disconnect in any way, then all of the things that follow and are manifest are irrelevant. They're not powerful. In my mind, there has to be this connection coming from deep within, from your heart, and that will mean worship.
Right. Do you think there is a good and or a bad worship?
For sure, yes.
What does that look like? Because that's it's a question I've asked myself. Like, what is good worship? What is bad worship? And what does that really mean? But how would you answer that?
Well, I think, at least in my mind, it is essentially a continuation of what was what I was already sharing. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily outward manifestation or appearance. It's this connection. Like is it coming from the heart or not? Mm-hmm. If it's all wonderfully manifested and crafted beautifully, but there's no heart behind it, that's bad worship. Mm. And I think we've all experienced good and bad worship in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a challenge for each of us, and for me definitely as well, because it's real easy to produce decent or hopefully good expressions and manifestations, mm-hmm. Through music and song, which we most often do. But the struggle is it going to be good worship, because there's a connection from your heart to this expression, or is there no connection, or is it challenging? Mm. And it is such a dynamic thing, to me at least. You can be challenged from one song to another. Mm. Maybe your thoughts drift away, or maybe you don't like the song, for instance. There may be different challenges that affect your heart, your focus. And if you drift away from that, then it may be bad worship, you know?
Right.
It comes down to what you're bringing. Mm. It, on the other hand, I think it's still going to be worship. And even though you're singing and thinking something different, you know, about steak after church or something like that.
Sure.
You're still at church. You're still engaged in this worship activity, or you're at home. It doesn't really matter. It is still worship, because you're actually doing it, you know. Mm-hmm. But in terms of how good it is, that comes down, to me at least, to the heart. Is there this direct connection? Are you communicating straight to the throne room, or does it get lost along the way somewhere? Mm. So that's the difference for me. Obviously, from the technical standpoint, we can nerd out, you know, for days, saying, okay, this is good worship from the technical standpoint, or bad. And those have their place as well. I think you can make distinctions between them. But to me, that's not, that is important to some extent, but it's not crucial. Mm-hmm. Substance is more important to me than the form that it is expressed in. Mm. In terms of if you're asking good and bad.
Yeah.
I think the heart behind it really decides whether it's good or bad.
Right. And do you have, like, you've been doing this a while, so like, do you have an experience of when worship was good and sweet? Like, is there something that you can kind of look back and say that was a moment that you recognize as good worship?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. And most, or oftentimes, that was not even during a song. You know, it's to me, good worship was, or is, whenever we open our hearts and we're free to both offer our worship to God and be attentive and in position to receive from the Holy Spirit during that time, whatever it may be. But our Father is a good Father, so He will definitely make sure to offer good things to us as a church. and individually. So those times would be good worship, in my opinion, when we are just leaving all of the things that may be a hindrance or may distract us from looking upon Jesus and just forgetting ourselves, really, and coming as we are to the presence of Jesus, and expecting, anticipating this conversation with him, you know, singing to him, yes, and praying to him, but really anticipating him to speak to us, to speak back, you know, really engage in a conversation. So that's where that happens. That I remember as great times of worship.
Right. I remember one of my more profound moments in worship was actually at a bus stop in Surrey, which is south of Vancouver. And I was alone. It was maybe 11:30 in the evening, and I started out into Amazing Grace. And it remains to this day one of my more sweet moments of worship, but it wasn't your typical environment and it wasn't your typical moment, but I was in awe of the Lord in that moment, and my heart did lift into worship. And my challenge that I had was walking that into Sunday morning, that like the next Sunday morning, how do I bring that moment that I experienced with the time frame of Sunday? So I guess, you know, my question would lead in is that what do you see that we need as Christians, and maybe even more on a more broad scale as the church, to bring those sweet moments into a Sunday morning? And what are the barriers that you've encountered?
I think there's several aspects to that. For the church, I think it starts with the leadership, always the leadership of the church. In terms of how the service is conducted and what the vision is for a Sunday morning service, including worship. I think leaders will be expected in practical terms by the congregation to set an example for them. So typically, I think for the most part, the church will go as far as the leaders will set an example, and worship is no exclusion from that.
Yep.
In my experience, we started off as your typical Sunday worship set. You know, we'd go through the songs. We'd have designated prayer times, you know, after the second song or whatever, the third song, and then after the close. And that was the anticipation or expectation. That was kind of a program that we had. And then my friends, when I went to the mission field, my friends came from the States, and that's where I saw a different way to go about worship. I saw the importance of actual freedom, and it was difficult at first, you know, because you're not used to this spontaneity, you know, and it throws you off, and it makes you uncomfortable. And all the years before, the actual vision was to keep everyone comfortable. Mm. And when people get uncomfortable, it felt wrong. Mm. But I think that is actually a challenging and sometimes a good place for people to get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And we see in the Bible, whenever Jesus appeared to people, especially in the Old Testament, or an angel appeared to people, they were not comfortable.
Yeah.
They were definitely not in a comfortable place to say, oh, hey, how's it going? You know, the reaction was very different. Mm-hmm. Yet, that was a direct presence of God or a representative of the Lord in someone's life. So that started me thinking a lot and realizing that we should not seek or strive for the people at the in the church to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. We should strive for the people to meet God,
right?
You know, on a Sunday morning, and we should set an example of anticipating God to interfere or manifest Himself in our program, you know, mm-hmm. which is called Sunday morning service, and really anticipate and expect Him to move in whatever way He chooses that day. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in an extravagant or miraculous, supernatural way. Mm-hmm. But this anticipation is something that I think is very important for the leaders in the church and for the congregation as well. Mm-hmm. Because whenever we invite the Holy Spirit to work and move, if there is this anticipation and expectation, I believe the church will get blessed as a result of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you touched on something I think that's important too, is just the cultural influences and how, you know, in my opinion, you know, how we've domesticated the church in North America. And I'm not saying that as a positive. I'm actually saying that as a critique. And I know that when I was in Mexico, the church that was close to the orphanage that I was working in, their Sunday services, minimum 3 hours. and worship was easily 2/3 that. And it was in song and praise. And even the pastor, he would get up and stop mid-service, bring out his trumpet, and then do a song or, you know, play the trumpet and worship in song, and then say a prayer and then get back to the sermon. And it was very, very different. And yet I could not help but see the Holy Spirit moving so freely. And then to come back to church in Western Canada, where I was at the time, and, you know, you sit for a few songs, you stand up for the last one, and then, you know, that's it. Like it was very sterile by comparison, for lack of better terms. Have you encountered that? I mean, coming from, you know, outside North America, from Ukraine, to coming to North America, where, I mean, in my opinion, it seems to be boxed somewhat. Have you encountered that as well, or is that something you're familiar with?
Well, to a certain extent, yes. I think it's more even related to cultural differences than necessarily the church itself. Hmm. And maybe that's because I came from a post-Soviet country where people in general are kind of more closed off in terms of emotion or feeling personal freedom. So, I mean, there's a difference in personal relationships or like personal communication. That's where I feel Canadians or people in England, for instance, in the UK, tend to be more reserved than someone from Ukraine or a bunch of other countries. It really depends on cultural differences. But in terms of people at the church, I think there's a different dynamic here as opposed to Ukraine. But even in Ukraine, you take the church in the capital, for instance. There was a different dynamic there yet, as opposed to the church in a more rural area where I was a missionary. So that there is truth to this. But I think that everyone has their own box that they're in, that hopefully they're trying to break apart and come out of.
Right.
There's a set of boundaries that we inherit from whatever the upbringing or parents or or you know the country or whatnot, which affects us. And I'm struggling with mine, obviously, as well, which is a real challenge and a real struggle. And it doesn't seem to, you don't seem to have come to a moment in time and say, okay, I've overcome now. Now I feel that there's no box. And now I can come to church and I'll just be free to, you know, to come before God and hold nothing back. It's always a struggle, at least in my case. I'm sure there's lots of people that have less of a struggle, or maybe no struggle at all, and that's awesome. But yeah, there's definitely this dynamic where we feel reserved, we feel aware of what others may think or what they will react when we sing, you know, or when we do this or that, or, you know, when we kneel or dance, no matter what it is, I think there's this awareness that maybe may hold us back, you know? And that affects freedom. And that affects the church as a whole. That's my theory, at least. The more freedom in the church, the better, in my opinion.
I agree. And I think, you know, you said it very, very well earlier that it starts with leadership. You know, if we aren't, trying to climb outside of our own individual boxes, right? On a Sunday morning, for example, it's going to be really duplicitous to expect anybody else to climb out of their box. We can't look at the congregation and say, why aren't they engaging more if we are not engaging more? And I agree with that. And, you know, I know that my own box, you know, that I find myself in is sometimes I feel like doing things that would seem silly in the sense of laying face down on the floor. And sometimes I'll hear the Lord say, you know, get on your knees. And sometimes I do it and sometimes I don't. You know, but that thing inside me that wars against that is my box, you know, and I strongly believe that it has to start with us. So what then can we do to encourage other people to get out of their boxes other than model and example? Because that's true. Is there some way that you think we can communicate this to encourage others?
I think one thing is we can acknowledge that there's a struggle with us. You know, it's not that the way that we do church is the right way for us or for the church, it may be healthy to acknowledge, okay, well, these are the things that I would like to see. That's my vision. But even personally, it's a struggle for me to let go of this and that, you know, to try to break this box apart. And it may produce something good for us personally, you know, since we're trying to bring about a change. And hopefully it will encourage others to try to follow, you know, or even lead in the one of the churches that I was leading worship at. There were a couple of people that started coming to church that had no problem, you know, using the gifts of the Holy Spirit during worship. So when we started kind of to pay more attention to that and to allow something as simple as a pause for others to pray out or speak out, they had no trouble. They felt comfortable. And in that way, they actually encouraged others to pay more attention to this. And the result was beautiful. You know, the church was blessed and edified through this. But it's always a struggle. And I remember myself, I struggled so much when God would essentially tell me to speak out in tongues on a Sunday morning, you know. Right. My immediate reaction was, there's going to be no interpretation. And the church will burn down as a result, you know. Everything will end. That's going to be the end of it. And it's going to be my fault and no one else's fault and all of this. So there was such a struggle, and it took me a while, many times, to actually step out and follow what God was asking me to do. And obviously there was interpretation in the result. But even if not spoken, we had one instance like that, actually, where there was someone spoke in tongues and there was no interpretation. But after the service, the person that received the interpretation actually came to the pastor and said, well, it was awkward. I was feeling ashamed to say anything, but this was what I got. And that was that felt like the interpretation at the time. So God is faithful, you know, but we do struggle. I struggle all the time. I think we do too, on a constant basis. But it's a matter of actually stepping out. And we may get another challenge next week and fail, you know, but there's going to be another time where we could also step out. And the result, my experience throughout the years, that the result of this is always a blessing to the church. There's really no logical or reasonable excuse not to do it, not to pursue it, other than just make yourself comfortable. And that's not the place that God necessarily wants us to be as a church.
Yeah. Awesome. And from a practical point of view, you have, in my opinion, a great ability to bring songs into worship that are new and yet feel familiar at the same time. How do you go about creating a set or bringing together music that can seem mechanical? How do you bring a set of songs into a place where people can lift their eyes to the Lord? I'm not a worship leader, so for me that's a foreign concept. Of taking something so simple and mechanical and bringing it into something so holy and meaningful at the same time. How do you choose songs that, you know, encourage people to enter in?
Ideally, I think that's where the Holy Spirit leads. And I think, I think you may too remember that sometimes the songs will correlate to the message, and we would not discuss anything beforehand, but it just so happens. It is difficult to put it into words. I'm not even sure. It's just something that flows. Like you just have to focus on what you're living through this week or wherever. You have time to think about a worship set. And then, in my experience, you just write down the ideas or the songs that come to mind. Sometimes I'll edit that later on, but usually it's not a new set as a result of that process. It's just like the order of songs may be different, or you substitute one or two songs with the other ones. I think ideally the best scenario is when you as a worship leader, you just listen or play and sing worship songs throughout the week, and you're essentially in this environment where it's on your mind,
right?
And then it becomes easier to express yourself through songs. The more variety you have in your arsenal of songs that you know, the more flexibility you get and the more freedom you get in expressing this worship. Okay, if you think about a set, then what is it that you feel is on your heart? Is it praise and adoration, or is it how God is great, or the faithfulness of God, or the grace or love? There's whatever you feel is the focus that your heart concentrates on. There's tens or hundreds of worship songs, good worship songs, that are there. In my case, at least at first, it was rather difficult because of the language change. And the songs that are popular here in Canada, not all of them were even translated into Ukrainian. And there were some songs which it was difficult to find the actual original, you know, because I was used to knowing songs in Ukrainian and Russian, but then you just sit down and think, okay, well, what is that, a translation at all? Even, you know, can I find the song in English? That was a bit of a struggle. But yeah, in terms of a set, I think ideally, I'd like to think, okay, well, the Holy Spirit should be the boss of this, you know, and there is a certain flow of songs that you just put down to paper, and it becomes a set.
Yeah. And do you have like a song right now that is like your go-to personal worship song when you find yourself just kind of humming as you go about your day, that kind of thing, or singing it as you go about your day?
It's more than one. If I were to say about right now, it's going to be Captain and Champion.
Right. Right. And what is it about those two songs? Cause I love those songs too, but what for you, what's your, how does it speak to your heart? How do they speak to your heart?
Well, Captain is beautiful musically, and the ideas of actually steering me towards, you know, towards heaven, towards eternity with God, is very close to my heart. And Champion, it is kind of similar in some ways, where the focus is on God being number one, the victor, you know, the champion, the captain. Champion is also challenging to me because of a number of things, but primarily it comes down to what is it that I can really anticipate and I can really express with my heart. Do I anticipate and really expect God to break down walls? Because I have many,
right?
And those need to come down. So it's a beautiful set of lyrics, and it's a challenge to me personally, and it's something that I like to see a change, you know, and many walls to come down, and I'd like to see miracles happen. And we were discussing the other day that the greatest miracle of all is someone getting saved and his spirit becoming alive again. That's the ultimate miracle, in my opinion. So I'd like to come expecting and anticipating God to do that and whatever else he wants. So these are the songs that are on my mind.
Awesome. And Justin, like a last question before I ask you to close in prayer. What advice could you give for someone wanting to step into worship? I think there's a lot of people that have a heart for it, but there's a precious few that I think have the heart to lead it as well. And for you, you're an accomplished worship leader. What would you say to someone that's coming to you saying, where do I begin?
There's a couple of things that come to mind. I think number one is, you have to draw from your foundations. And that is going to have to be knowledge of the Bible, of God's word, and actually abiding in God's word day to day. That is the source. There's no other source that you will find. There's technical aids and courses and schools that I'm sure are great, but they will not substitute the source of true inspiration, and that's going to have to be the Bible and nothing else. So that's number one. Also, in practical terms, there's a reason why the Bible calls for worship leaders and participants to play skillfully. Mm. And the reason is not necessarily for it to sound professional or sound skillful. Mm-hmm. To me, in at least in my case, the reason is more not to focus or concentrate on the technical side. Mm. So if you play guitar, then go ahead and practice and play scales and try to understand the harmonies and the different keys and transitions, because that is going to equip you to focus more on the essence of worship, on the heart, rather than get distracted by technical things, you know, like which chords to play or keeping up the tempo, stuff like that. And then another thing would be to learn the actual songs and the lyrics. That's something that I can't, still can't do. Coming here is to memorize and learn all of the songs and the lyrics. And it's I think that may be a distraction, and it's definitely like a bit of a detriment, because it will practically limit you to a set of songs, and it will limit you to the set of songs that you have access to, either through something like an iPad or what you printed off, as opposed to if you really have sort of a bank of songs in your head, then you use them more freely. And that was actually the best situation in terms of leading worship and leading people in worship, where you and your team of musicians or whoever you have, singers, know the songs, and you can switch between whatever you feel is right for the moment. And that is just beautiful, because it provides you a level of freedom that is precious in my opinion. So these would be the steps that I would recommend. I think it's also important to actually, if you're a worship leader or if you're a member of the team, to try and have practices with the team. And have just times of prayer and worship, not as a practice, but as a worship meeting, just to keep together and worship the Lord as a team.
Right.
That is also very important.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for this. I have to admit, I've been sitting here just kind of drinking it in, because it's like, I appreciate your heart for this. And this is, I think, an incredibly important subject. So if you're open to it, I'd love to bring you back again and maybe we can talk some more. But in the meantime, would you be willing to close us off in prayer and end this one session?
For sure. Yeah, cool. I think, like I was saying, it's such a vast subject. Mm-hmm. That you can spend days talking about. Yep. It. There's so many different aspects. Yep. But yeah, for sure. Awesome. I'll pray. Yep. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the gifts and abilities that you've given to your people, to the church, for the different variety of means and ways to worship you. And we pray that you would give us the hearts of worship, that you would enable us to set everything aside, to let go and come as we are to you, to the throne of grace, and be able to just worship you and expect you to speak to us and to bless your church. Thank you for this time. We pray, we continue praying for our land, that you would save many souls. And we love you, and we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.